Welcome to episode number 33 of the Unperfect Podcast, where we are starting a two-part series on relationships. I have lots of relationships in my life. I have a husband, I have four kids, a mom, in-laws, siblings, and some pretty amazing friends, and a puppy. But nothing we're going to talk about today actually applies to my relationship to the dog, because frankly, being in a relationship with Rocket is so stinking easy. He's so precious. He loves me all the time, no matter how many times I forget to refill his water bowl. And he's pretty easy to please. But those other relationships I mentioned, oh my word, they are so hard. I remember dreaming of the day I'd be married to Mr. Wright, my knight in shining armor, and we'd raise these perfect little obedient, lovely children. And I am here to tell you today that after 29 years of marriage and counting and 22 years of raising kids and counting, only two of those words were probably realistic. The word right and the word lovely. My husband definitely is right for me. We balance each other out, compliment each other beautifully. But y'all, it took years of hard work to realize that and figure out how to do life so that that took place. There is no Mr. Right or Mrs. Right in our home, or Mr. Perfect or Mrs. Perfect, because I'm a sinner, married to a sinner, raising four little sinners. But the moments that I've allowed the Holy Spirit to transform my selfish desires into all that He desires for me have made all my relationships lovely. That is where that word comes in. So I can't wait for you to hear my conversation with the beautiful and oh so, so, so wise Lori Hatcher today and next week as we tackle some hidden relationship wreckers that we need to be on the lookout for. So grab a pen or open your notes app on your phone because you're going to want to write her words of wisdom down. Listen in. Welcome to the Unperfect Podcast. I'm your host, Shelley Sneed, and I'm here to help you see glimpses of God's glory among life's imperfections. If you have ever struggled with measuring up to an unattainable standard or wondered, where is God during less than perfect circumstances, congratulations. You're officially human, and you're not alone. Hope and probably a little bit of humor are coming up. I am excited to introduce today's guest to you. Lori Hatcher writes, speaks, and lives to point people to God and His Word. She wants others to experience the power and presence of God available to us as believers in Jesus Christ. She's been married to her pastor hubby for 40 years and has two daughters and four grandchildren. She's written many books such as Hungry for God, Starving for Time, as well as the Refresh devotional series she's currently in with books like Refresh Your Faith, Refresh Your Hope, Refresh Your Prayers, and 100 Moments with God for Couples. And we're going to talk about her latest book in a moment because one of the devotions is going to be the topic of our conversation. But thank you, Lori, so much for being here today on the Unperfect Podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Shelley.
So tell us a little bit more about you or anything you'd like to share that I didn't already say.
I like to tell people I am a Yankee transplant. I wasn't born in the South, but I got here as fast as I could. I don't love cold, so South Carolina is my happy place.
Nice. Yeah, I saw that in your, when I was reading more about you, even though I knew a lot about you already, and I thought, she doesn't sound like a South Carolinian, because my husband's from South Carolina. So yeah, I don't like the cold either, and so North Carolina is about as far north as I'm going.
Amen. My family tells that the blizzard of 78 prompted the migration of 79, and we've been here ever since.
That is great. That is great. And I just wanted to add to your unofficial bio for my listeners that I had the privilege of hearing you speak. I think it was 2 years ago. And it was just a time in my life when I was going through some major changes coming out of a very stressful and somewhat traumatic season. And God just really used you to speak into my life about why I was writing and what my spiritual goals needed to be and just kind of fine tuning my ministry. So I know I've thanked you before, but I'm so grateful for all that you shared with us. That was at the Blue Ridge Mountain Christian Writers Conference. And so, so good. So I'm excited to have you today. So let's go ahead and dive into what we're going to be talking about. And I'll just give a little background here. Your latest devotional, A Word for Your Day, spotlights one word from every book of the Bible, which I think is so neat. And it's been interesting to read because some of the words that you've chosen are ones we might expect, like beginnings for Genesis or new for Revelation. But then some of them are more surprising, like reigns or small or weight. And so I was thinking about this as we're recording this today, it's February 13th. So we didn't plan this. It's the day before Valentine's Day, but it is kind of fitting that we're going to be talking about your word for Song of Solomon or Song of Songs. But the word you chose for this book of the Bible, I'm not sure I even knew was in that book of the Bible. So tell us why you chose the word foxes and tell us a little bit about that.
My goal in everything I write, but especially this book, was to introduce readers to the fact that there are unmined treasures in every book of the Bible. Timothy says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so even the odd minor prophets or books that we don't naturally gravitate to have unmined, for most of us, treasures that relate to our life, that can enhance our life, that can draw us closer to God, can give us a better picture of Him. So one of my goals as a writer is to just try to drape the black velvet so that the sparkle of God's word can really shine. So that was one of my goals, was to choose uncommon words, unexpected words from each book of the Bible to hopefully inspire curiosity and a desire to dig a little bit deeper and go beyond what we think we know about the different books of the Bible.
Right. I love that. And I love the phrase you used, unmined treasures, because there's nothing more exciting than reading a passage of scripture you've read hundreds of times and going, oh my gosh, I've never noticed that before. It reminds me that God's word is alive and active, right? That it's not just this ancient manuscript. Once you've read it, you know it all. So
yes, it's like an onion. You just keep peeling the layers and discovering just amazing things.
Right. I love that. So, okay. So in this particular devotion, you talk about several foxes that can spoil our relationships. So talk to us about this first little fox.
Okay. Well, the whole concept of foxes in the Song of Songs or Song of Solomon is that, of course, in Israel, grapes were a really big deal, and they grew them throughout the countryside. But in the book of Song of Solomon or Song of Songs, Solomon warns about the little foxes that ruin the vineyards in chapter 2, verse 15. And I've always just kind of assumed I knew what that meant, but I did a little digging. And the way the foxes ruin the vineyards is not by like digging up the plants or even eating the grapes. What they love to do in the springtime is go beneath the grapevines because they're up on low hanging trellises. They go beneath the grapevines and they nip off the early ends of the vines. They nip off the little flowers. They affect what will ultimately produce the fruit. So one little nip off the growing end of a vine can destroy 2 pounds of grapes.
Wow.
So, but yet these foxes go in under the vines and they're hard to spot and they're hard to, it's hard to protect your vineyard against them unless you are watching for them and you realize the destructive potential that these little foxes can cause. Three times in this short book, that you'll see references to the little foxes that ruin the vineyards are vineyards that are in bloom. When we talk about relationships, and Song of Solomon is known for being like the racy book, and it's about the joy of married love and sex and all that. So that's the first thing we think about. But in a greater sense, it's about relationship. Mm-hmm. And not just married couples, the principles that we read in the Song of Songs, especially concerning the little foxes that can ruin the vineyards, we can apply to all of our relationships, because Satan loves to steal, kill, and destroy. He's going to do everything he can to disrupt our relationship. So we need to be aware of the little foxes that can spoil the vineyards in our relationships with other people.
Absolutely. So tell us about, because you outline three little foxes that can spoil our relationships or get in there and, like you're saying, get under the vines. Tell us about this first one.
Well, the first little fox that can destroy or damage our relationship is one that I think we're probably all very, very familiar with and also all guilty of, and that's overcommitment. Oh my goodness, what relationship hasn't suffered because of overcommitment? Long work hours, overfull schedules, too many extracurriculars, the inability to say no. Can I get a witness here? Especially we as women really struggle with that.
Yes.
Those things stretch us thinner than plastic on a watermelon. You know, we tag team kids and chores and homework, and sometimes we're just ships passing in the night. I mean, we hand off a kid or a task or an assignment, and we don't even sit down to have a meal together or have an opportunity for a conversation. Until we're so tired that our heads hit the pillow and we're asleep, and we wake up the next day and do it all over again. Overcommitment can be such a sneaky little fox in our relationship, because we're filling, most of us are, especially those who love Jesus, are filling our days with good things. We're volunteering on this committee. We're helping with PTA. We're helping with our kids' sports team. You name it, we're doing it. But Oswald Chambers, one of my favorite wise old dead guys, said that the good is the enemy of the best. And that is the filter we need to put every decision we make when we commit our time, our energy, our finances. When we say yes to things, we have to ask ourselves, is this a good thing? And there are lots and lots of good things. Or is this the best thing? I like to apply the 1-3 principle, because for every one thing we say yes to, we're technically at least saying no to three other things. So it helps to be able to ask ourselves, if I say yes to this, what am I saying no to? If I sign my child up for this sports team, I'm going to be saying no to family dinners three nights a week, or I'm going to be saying no to that Wednesday night service that our family ordinarily goes to, or, you know, so we need to ask, what will this yes cost me? One wise productivity expert shared the suggestion that we write down our top three priorities in the season of life we're in. And for most of us, I would imagine, hopefully, would be God. Second priority would be our marriage, if we're married. And then our family, and then work and other things come underneath that. So when we're trying to decide what to say yes to and what to say no to, we need to ask ourselves, will saying yes to this help me prioritize those most important things in our lives? If it doesn't, then this is the time to say no to that, to say no to the good, so that we can say yes to the best. If not, as we look at those priorities, I put it through a 3D filter. does this support my main priorities, my main responsibilities at this time in my life? Mm-hmm. If it does, then I do it. If it doesn't, then maybe I can delay it. I wanted for many years to explore several things like Toastmasters International. We talked about this before we came on the air. But I knew that while I was in the season of homeschooling my children, that they were one of my top priorities and their education was one of my top priorities. So I didn't say yes to that in that season. I delayed it. So that was the second D. We either do it if it supports those three priorities, or we delay it for another season, another time. I see lots of young moms who want to do, you know, this or that or the other thing. I'm not even going to fill in the blanks, but their main priority, at least should be their family and raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So it's appropriate sometimes to delay that, knowing that our children are only going to be young for a very short period of time, and we'll have lots of life on the other side of active parenting to pursue these other things. And then the final D in the 3D litmus test is either you do it, either you delay it, or you delegate it. This is a worthy project. I fully support it. But at this time, I cannot be the one to do this. And when we delegate it to someone else, either specifically by asking someone or by just saying by default, then we are able to, number one, direct our energy toward what's most important. And number two, we open up an opportunity for somebody else to serve that may very well need to be in that position. We think we have to say yes to everything because we're the best person to do it. In reality, we could be interfering with somebody else's opportunity to serve or to get involved. So overcommitment is so common, especially in young families, but also in folks who are in later stages of their life, because we don't know how to differentiate between the good and the best.
That is so true. And I was thinking of that last thing you just said about we think we're the best one for the job. And I was a young mom, and I remember I was battling with a decision, and I was pretty sure I was going to say yes to it because I'm a chronic yeser. Like, I just, you know, it's taken me decades to go, I probably shouldn't say yes to this next thing. But that he said, why are you going to do this? And I said, well, I'm the best one for the job. And he said, that didn't mean you're supposed to do it. And that was like an aha moment. Like, oh, I just assumed that was a natural. And he was like, no, that has nothing to do with it. You know, what does God want you to be focusing on? I love that. And I also heard a pastor recently say, it was interesting. He said, if you don't show up for work or even a volunteer position, like, you can be replaced. You're not that important. But the two places you cannot be replaced are in your relationship with God and your relationship with your family. Like, if you don't show up, it's, you know, it's going to crash and burn because that, like you were saying, those priorities.
Yeah. You're the only one who can do that.
That's right.
And it's it's a gift. Who doesn't want a strong marriage and a strong family and strong relationships? You know, when we get to the end of our lives, I don't think we're going to say, gosh, I wish I had worked in more volunteer organizations. I think we're going to say, I wish I spent more time with my husband. I wish I spent more time with my kids. I'm on the other side of active parenting, and I'm grateful for the time that I spent with my kids. It never seemed like enough, but I look back on those times, and now I'm seeing the fruit in my adult children's lives as they are raising their own children. They're making not all the same decisions we made for them, but they're making a lot of the same, which tells me in their eyes, that was a good childhood. It was a good upbringing. And I don't regret that. I quote unquote set aside a part of my career during those child rearing years. But now that I look back, it went so fast. We have such it's such a short period of time. I mean, in the middle of it, we think it's going to last forever. But in the grand scope of the average lifetime, it's 10 or 15 or 20 years. I mean, just 25% of the average person's life. So, and also just in our relationships with our husbands, because when the kids are gone, and they will be gone, the one that remains, hopefully, Lord willing, is your husband. So you don't want to have starved that relationship during all those years so that one day when the last kid goes out the door, you look at each other and realize you're strangers and you have nothing in common. You've just been roommates for the last, you know, 20 years, busy about good things, but not really investing in one of the most important relationships that we have, which is the gift of a marriage relationship.
Absolutely. And I was thinking too, as you were talking, I think half of the time, maybe more than half of the times we volunteer and say yes to things is not even necessarily because we want to do it. It's because we want the affirmation that we did it, or the people pleasing, or the, you know, it's, if we really look at our motives, because you were talking about when you get to the end, you're not going to be like, I wish I had volunteered one more time. I wish I'd, you know, cooked one more meal for this event or whatever. But often it's not even motivated by a godly desire to serve. Sometimes it's just, you know, what are they going to think if I don't volunteer? What are they going to think if I don't do this? So
it's true. And ultimately, in that decision-making process of what to say yes to and what to say no to, God will lead us. James 1:5 tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all without finding fault, and it'll be given. And so when we say yes to those things that God wants us to do, it won't be to the detriment of our family or our marriage, because that's important in his eyes as well. So when we seek godly wisdom, godly counsel, when we search the scriptures for direction and guidance in what our priorities will be, it will always reinforce those things that are most important. So we can trust that when we ask God for wisdom, he is eager to provide it and to direct us.
Yes, yes, that is so, so true. And you've given us so many practical things and strategies. I'm just taking all kinds of great notes over here. So I love it. That's great. So today we tackled the first box that has the potential to wreak havoc on our relationships: overcommitment. It has taken me years to realize the impact that my busyness has on my family and friends. And I loved Lori's tips today on priorities, the 1-3 principle and the 3 D's. And if you thought this week was deep and helpful, definitely tune back in for episode number 34, where we tackle 2 more biggies and learn some more wonderful nuggets of truth to help us flourish in our marriages and our other relationships. And remember, if you'd like to grab your own copy of Lori's book, A Word for Your Day, it's available on Amazon, and I'll put links in the show notes to buy it. I have used her books much like devotionals, because they are completely based on scripture, and also they're extremely applicable and just practical. So I'll include a link to her website where you can subscribe to her newsletter as well for more wisdom from God's Word straight into your inbox. I absolutely love sharing this time with you. And as always, I'm praying that you're able to see glimpses of glory in the now and the not yet of your imperfect relationships as you pursue Jesus this week. See you next time. You're still here. Good. Want to help me get the word out on the Unperfect Podcast? Leave a review and or a rating. Spotify only allows ratings, and only good ratings, please. But reviews, particularly on Apple and other podcast platforms, are like advertisements, and that's how a podcast gets pushed up on their recommendations list. A rating only takes seconds, and a review can be short and sweet, like what Sandy from the Balanced Momcast wrote. Love this. So many takeaways and nuggets of encouragement. Or Jody, who said, Shelley uses humor and the word to bring encouragement and truth to my day. Jody, I'm so glad you see the humor, because my kids just don't. It's so sad. So thanks again for listening and blessing me with your words.